Welcome to the Daft Runners podcast, presented by Alex and Jamie, where we invite listeners along on our daft running adventures. This is episode 11, where this week we find ourselves in the Scottish borders, somewhere in the Scottish borders.
Fairly warm for the Scottish borders right here. And yeah, it looks a lot like my house, actually.
So the point of this, Alex, is obviously that we're pretending that we're in the Scottish borders and that we're about to or have just run the event and not in the warm, cozy interior of our homes talking about our victories past.
I think listeners may clock on to the fact that we're not still there, being as we're about 2 weeks late in recording this. But, time is a liquid, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, liquid concept. And to be fair, I did spend about 2 weeks recovering from the event. I know you were fine, so we can just blame
it. Bodes well for the next one, really.
Indeed so. So, I mean, the first thing we can say is Edinburgh was pretty cold. Pretty cold.
It was. I mean, one mistake I made, actually, was by not bringing a coat, really. I don't know. It seemed we had like mild weather the whole week before, and I was like, "Meh, I can do with just a jacket. I don't need a hoodie or a thick coat or anything." And then we got there, and it was blooming freezing, yeah. Absolutely ice cold.
So we were sitting on kind of waiting for the bus on Northbridge. Just got off the train from England and London, and we were standing there wondering if we were at the right stop. We've been here before, so a couple of years ago we took the same trip, and we're still wondering, is it the right bus stop? And just there's something miserable about getting snow, sleet, wind hitting you from the side, kind of minus temperatures, and we were both sat there shivering, just thinking, what the hell are we doing? We're about to kind of go running in a river on top of a kind of mountains in the Scottish borders. And the weather is like this in Edinburgh, we are going to die.
Yeah, so we're failing at the bus stop in the city.
Yeah, exactly. Where we had shelter. There was shelter, but it didn't matter because it was sideways wind. Sideways wind. Yeah. Not happy.
And an Italian restaurant that we just came out of as well. I mean, so.
Oh, I don't remember anything about that. I had no Italian food, surely.
Your mind was wiped by the. Arenacci or whatever it was.
Exactly, it was far too cold. I had a brain freeze and deleted my memory. But that aside, thankfully, when we took the bus an hour and a half or so from Edinburgh to Inner Leithen, I guess it's the Inner Leithen zone. The more inland you get, I guess the probably some circumstances the warmer the weather. But we just seemed to pass a certain line, and suddenly the weather lifted up, and I think at some point in time the sun came out, didn't it? We were kind of walking along and.
It seemed like a lovely day. I think it was because we went a bit south. I think maybe that was it.
Okay. Yeah. Or maybe just deliberate kind of Scottish Edinburgh weather, get the tourists. Yeah, actually get to the real Scotland in the borders. So it's nicer, but there we go. Mm. Yeah. Interesting times weather-wise. So I know we talked a little bit about that in the last podcast, but yeah.
It was a very good forecast. Yeah, I'm not sure how accurate it was, but it was a forecast.
It was as accurate as it needed to be at the time, which is exactly what I say regarding most things I talk about, as in that it's never accurate.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it was cold, and we spent a lot of time wandering around in the cold, going back and forth between buses and registration tents that were very muddy. I mean, we had to change shoes just to go to the registration tent.
Yeah, that was next level mud.
The field itself had already turned into a crazy bog, and that was just like the registration village.
Alex, that just reminded me, because I have to say that was muddier than certain bits of the course. I did not lose my shoes at any point during the, but I lost my shoes in the mud. When I was walking to the toilet, so these again, I had these kind of trail shoes. I tied laces on tightly, and the entire race, fine, going through river, bog, mud mountain, and then I got to the kind of final event, walking across to go to the toilet, and my shoes were taken from me from the bog. I mean, slightly ridiculous. Probably my own fault. I wasn't really paying attention, but it's probably a bit of feedback. I'd say is often at these events, I've seen them put down mud kind of guards or some kind of like area you can walk on. There's some kind of plastic bedding, as it were. And they obviously hadn't done it this time around. I think that's definitely something they should have done. But the event was generally really well organized. Marshals were fantastic, really kind of inclement weather as well. And so I can't really complain. Mm. Haven't put my guard down. You seem like a bit uncharitable.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good thing you actually brought the correct shoes this time. That's the only.
Oh, that too, yeah. I still stacked it though. Still stacked it massively.
Yeah. So, good. That was the only piece of kit. No, actually, they didn't even check your shoes when they started running. They only checked the head torch. And now it was just a case of like shining at me before we started. The kit check was pretty non-existent. But then again, there isn't much of a essential items list for this apart from the head torches there, actually.
Yeah, do you think it's because it's relatively short compared to the other ones?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's not even a half marathon, really, is it?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It is a tough race, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some of those like ridiculously steep hills that you have to bear crawl up really do challenge you.
Yeah, so, a bit of cheeky scrambling, as I call it.
Yeah.
So it's about 645 meters of elevation gain I measured on my... And, that's a pretty chunky amount, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty chunky amount.
It's a pretty good gain. Yeah. Get gains.
Yeah. Thank you for these gains. Thank you.
Definitely. And I think most of it as well. We had to run with waterproofs, didn't we? Because it was actually looking like it was going to rain for a while. I'm not sure if it did actually whilst we were on the run. Did it? It was kind of a little wet, but I'm not sure if it was actually raining. But there was, I think this is a point you were keen to highlight during your weather report, was it was definitely not going to rain. Is that not what you were saying before?
I think it was going to rain. It wasn't going to rain. It was going to rain just afterwards and it was sleet or snow. But the period of time where we were running, it apparently wasn't going to rain. I think it's raining a little bit, but it was kind of almost like a condensation in the air rather than proper rain.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely needed the waterproof. I mean, that may have been a bit for the wind.
Oh, yeah, the wind.
As well, the wind was pretty chilly.
Yes, yeah, so we should mention, actually, that a lot of the course got kind of curtailed because there was a few weather warnings. So we obviously remembered last year we had the Beast from the East in and the event got cancelled. But this time around, it was more water kind of related than that. It rained quite a lot. So a lot of the river sections have been removed from the race and it was significantly shorter as a result. So the
rivers were very, very swollen and running super fast. So we saw, I think, nearly on all of our very many trips over that river, both before and during the race and after, the local ranger or rescue crews or whatnot, safety personnel in their diving gear and everything, essentially measuring it and like checking for like safety and stuff, because we still did go in some parts of the river, but a lot of those sections that we had done previously had been removed. You still there?
Oh yeah, sorry, I just heard you again. Something happened. I'm back though. Should we crack on? Okay, edit that bit, I guess.
Carry on.
Yeah. So I think from when I heard you last, you were talking about the kind of the course being cut out. So there was a big long section about midway through the race, I remember, where we had to go through the river upstream for about 100, 200 meters. Very cold. So I have to say I'm fairly grateful that we didn't have to do that, but it did shorten the course a little bit. So it removed some of the challenge. But I wasn't particularly unhappy about that. But I mean, the fact it was so wet had a real impact on the kind of boggy nature of other parts of the course. And it was very difficult going, very slippy. And there were some bits, I'd say that I spectacularly stacked it, like even with my trail shoes. So even though I had proper shoes on, correct shoes, I had a much quicker time because of the footwear and, you know, kind of very much more stable. I still kind of ended up falling everywhere to the extent where somebody I was running behind actually let me go past them because they were worried that I would take them out. You know, I was that bad. So I was, yeah. Certainly not a great, not a great race for me in terms of staying on my feet, but still much quicker than I was before.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of the downhills. I mean, well, not a lot, well, a few of the downhills. I ended up just you know, traveling down on my butt instead. And that's the best way to go.
Isn't it? It's like the butt tactic, isn't it? The butt slide. Yeah, that's it.
It's so steep, and it's typically slippy. So it's like, well, you can sort of stand up like tall and be like, oh dear, oh, gotta watch my step, or you just like just go for it. And if you're gonna go for it, then even then, especially when you got people in front of you, it's gonna be a nightmare to control yourself. So it's like, well, get down close to the ground, generally because you're trying to face, like, oh, propel yourself downhill, and you can just leverage your backside, and I've got enough of a width there to establish a good sled position.
Yeah, so I've heard this before, Alex, about you leveraging your backside.
Definitely. I mean, occasionally I would do a crab walk as well. So that was also a very good tactic to make, just get lower. Because the lower you are to the ground, your center of gravity, then the more stable you are. So like being all completely upright and trying to go down a very steep incline is not going to help you out a lot when it's very slippy and trippy. I mean, I did smash my ass into a few rocks, but I, you know, generally survived okay.
I think most of the time I fell down, I was lucky enough that I kind of landed somewhere soft, but I think I've got a bit more padding now, so I probably enjoyed the benefit of that a little bit more. But no, again, fantastic race. Really enjoyed it after I'd finished, obviously. But it kind of, again, seeing all the head torches kind of spread across the distance when you summited some of the peaks, just spectacular. So it always something that really stands out in my mind. So this is a tough race, really rewarding if you're willing to put up with a little bit of the cold and the hill. So,
I really enjoy this kind of technical aspects of the climbing up and running down the hills, all narrow trails, having to, you know, balance yourself, how to, you know, brace on trees and swing around, and generally just ducking and diving everywhere to the beer tent.
so don't say that. What was the favorite bit of the race for you? Because for me, there was one bit that really stood out, and that there was kind of a curved sections. I think it was the first or second descent, and it kind of you ran down these paths, but they kind of curved round. So it's almost like you were going around a racetrack, but obviously the momentum was carrying you around, so you felt like you're going quicker than you were really. I really enjoyed that bit, but I guess the beer tent's probably another really highlight. Just because this time round I got to spend some time in there, unlike last time.
They just queued outside. So
yeah.
But no, I mean, I think my favorite part was there was some really, like, good steep scrambles where you could just kind of bear crawl up the mountain. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. And
is that where you managed to lose me? Is that where you forgot about me?
No, I lost you on a downhill. I think the first downhill, or maybe it was an uphill. It was some point near the beginning, and it was too damn cold to wait. I did try, but I was like, I thought you'd be way too polite coming downhill because, you know, that it's a lot of traffic, and you're known for letting people pass you and generally being very polite rather than just getting your ass down the mountain.
Oh, that's exactly why. Yeah, that's exactly why. I'm as slow as I am in these races because I'm too polite. Yeah,
that's exactly it. I mean, you're otherwise you're setting world records if you just weren't so damn nice about it.
I know, right? I just if only Mo Farah, watch out! If only I wasn't so nice. Mo Farah, lovely guy, much slower than I am.
You have the universe or, you know, yeah, plane of existence. I'm sure that's true. Maybe not the one we're in right now, but.
Yeah. So multiverse, maybe there is a version of me out there that's a famous international runner, like definitely not this one, but maybe one out there. We can only hope and dream. There we go.
Of all the dreams, that's the one we should all put our hopes in.
So that aside, so yeah, again, lots of traffic as you said, but that was quite nice. For some traffic sometimes for a nice sneaky break while you're going up the hills. I certainly partook of a couple of breathers as I follow people up the hill. But I'm sure, Alex, how did you find it? You kind of pounced up like you usually do, or is this very much a kind of start run for the year for you?
I don't know. It was. The traffic was irritating, but. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it was just a case of like pretty knackered after some of the more technical pieces. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like I was getting super frustrated. I mean, there were a few points where the trail was absolutely just so narrow. There was absolutely no way anyone was overtaking anybody else. Mm. Even if they were being polite and stepping out of the way, it was still just not happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little bit of frustration, but in general, it was okay. There's a lot of fun actually going, I think maybe the second main downhill down the mountain biking trail. Mm. Yeah, I almost ran into a few people by accident. That was good.
Yeah. So obviously got to the end of the race finally, and there was no slip and slide this year, was there?
No slip and slide. No, I was wholeheartedly disappointed by the lack of slip and slide. That was a lot of fun last time, but yeah, I guess it was just already too boggy and wet, so it would just been basically submerging people in mud as a kind of bullet into the ground.
Yeah, so I almost killed people last time we did it, so I'm probably glad for that not to be there.
Join a pile of people slowly sinking into the mud that's been churned up by. But everyone's bellies, essentially.
Yeah, indeed. But so once we got to the village again, so very happy to be there. The tent was up, and it was relatively warm. So I was shivering myself until I found the heater and planted myself right next to it.
Despite the robe,
yeah. But the beer was good. Bear ale. It wasn't bear ale. So
tasty ale, that was.
Tasty ale. Mm. And there was a gin bar, actually. We really enjoyed. We didn't have any gin necessarily, but really enjoyed. So they did try kind of going around the crowd, talking to them on the tannoy, and it was some very amusing conversations that are happening. And, one that sticks in my mind about the gin, and that. They were kind of commenting how good it was and so on. And sometimes, you know, when you pick the wrong person to talk to, the person who kind of was asking a question said, "Do you like the gin? Yeah, it was lovely. You know, is it a good price?" It's like, no, it's very expensive. It's just one of those things you think, ooh, that's slightly awkward. But I mean, that aside, the band was good. And they all looked 16, that played all my favorite songs when I was born in the 80s and 90s, and so I had a great time.
Playing songs for Grandpa, you know?
Yeah, songs for Grandpa indeed, yeah.
That's, I tell you what, though, I mean, the gin was expensive, and maybe it was reassuringly expensive. Maybe what that guy was saying was actually, it was a bit more of a, was it the fart show or something? He's like, oh, it's very expensive, very expensive. So maybe that was the angle he was going for. It was all very positive about the gin. But I thought the music was kind of okay. I don't actually remember seeing the band at any point, but I was just enjoying the beer and also queuing a very long time for chips. I remember queuing for chips. That took forever. I think there was a bit of disorganization in the food court area. It was getting a bit manic at some points, but I did get the chips. And they were tasty.
Yeah, so it's a tough one, isn't it? So we do rate people in terms of organisation. Bad, kind of thinking about giving people low marks, but could we really mark someone down or an event down for an organization because their chip queue isn't sorted?
I mean, we weren't so affected by it because all I was ordering was chips because I couldn't be bothered to tell you what you could have and I just bought you chips.
Touché.
But there were other options that seemed, you know, there were like burgers and I think, was there steak? I don't know. It seemed to have like a gastropub type theme on one of the stands. And I think some people were waiting a very long time, but...
So maybe we need to get stuck into more to the kind of food, the gastro options. Do you know what I mean? So we need to rate exactly what happens, so the food at these events. So maybe we should rate that next time.
Food critic.
Yeah, exactly.
Fast food.
Yes.
So finally, we're branching out into all the the good parts of punditry.
Exactly. But I mean, summary wise, the Deerstalker did not disappoint. Great event, had a great time. Kind of really challenging race, massive adventure. Would definitely go back again in the future.
100%. Yeah, definitely looking forward to it next year. Maybe even do the double Stalker. Was it called the double Stalker? Is that what they called it?
I think it was. Yeah, we did talk about doing that. I have to say, I'm glad we didn't. I don't think it was quite fit enough, but that would have been interesting. But,
I mean, that's very, very worrying based on... So this event was about 14 kilometers because it was cut down, as Jamie said, because of the weather warnings. Hmm. Now, doing a double would take it up to, you know, close to 30 kilometers, you know, 28 k. And the fact that we're saying, actually, that's a bit much... When, what day is it now? It's Tuesday. So that is 1, 2, 3, in 4 days' time, we're supposed to embark on a 30-mile race. That's what's 30 miles in kilometers?
It's a lot
of kilometers. But 30 miles in real money. And then... Not only that, but then the next day we've got to do it all over again.
Yes, so that's 96 kilometers, I think. My math does me right. Yeah, 96 kilometers.
So close to 100 kilometers. So we've done 14 kilometers and we were saying, that's a bit much.
What have we done?
this is terrible.
this is your fault. I'm blaming you. I may have suggested we do this.
I mean, we can go back to the original tape of this podcast back in December. I want to highlight to you that you were the one pushing to do this absolutely ridiculous task on the 13th of April.
I do not remember that. You may have recorded me. It was not me. It was an imposter pretending to be me saying that I could run because everybody knows I can't run. Everyone knows it.
It's utterly preposterous. And I'm just kind of dumbfounded really. But ultimately, we should have done the double Stalker because, I haven't really done much else. For those who don't know, we were talking about doing the Isle of Arran, Ultra Tour of Arran, I think is the name of the race itself, where we'll be traveling up to do that 96 kilometers this weekend. And basically, since the Deerstalker, which was a few weeks ago, done a couple of maybe 3 20-mile runs. And I'm kind of done with running right now. I'm pretty bored of it. And so I've been just doing lots of gym classes and stuff. I think I wrote a blog about it. I think stretching was actually leading to more injuries than it was helping me. Probably because I was doing it wrong. But ultimately, I was suffering quite a bit with knees and calves. So I elected to just keep my runs to the long distance ones and do cross train at the gym, which has basically just been doing spin classes, which, you know, I'm sure that'll work fine. We'll find out on Saturday, I guess.
Indeed. Yeah. I think I've taken an interesting slight diversion from that. I've done a fair fair few kind of shorter runs. Haven't necessarily been going quickly, but done a fair few spinning classes as well. And I did my sole kind of 20-mile run at the weekend, which was, as an aside, horrendous. So I'm not looking forward to my chances, but a slightly different kind of tact in terms of training. So it'd be interesting to see how it turns out. I certainly think we'll do the race. The gradients of pain that we're going to suffer will be on the high side, I'm thinking, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, this is the first time I've ever actually looked at a topographical map. That's not the right word, is it? Whatever the word is for this line graph where it shows you your elevation over the distance. Elevation chart is what it's called on this particular site. And I'm actually thinking about, you know, the strategy for how to approach this race, because I've never before just kind of turned up and started running and be like, I'm sure I'll be fine in the end. This time I'm a little worried.
To be honest. What does it say? How much kind of height do we have to kind of climb?
So this is not cumulative. It's not, I mean, maybe it does if I click on the other link, but then that'll take time to load, and I just don't have that kind of patience. but ultimately, this first day looks relatively fine. I mean, the top's out at around 220, 250, maybe. It's not a very accurate, very precise graph. Let's call it 250 meters of elevation. Okay. And it's quite, you know, up and down. There's quite a big hill after the first relatively flat, I guess, kilometer or so. And then a bit of steepness. And then we have quite a flat section between what looks like kilometer 6 and maybe 12-ish. And I mean, there's a bit of a hill and then a bit more flattiness before we hit more big hill. So ultimately, I'm thinking, take it fucking easy. That's what I'm saying. because the next day, I mean, this is clearly like a joke. It's from the 200 meters of elevation that was undulating on day one. This is two humongous spikes. It's basically the dying, what do you call it? Graph of my heartbeat, probably, come Sunday. But like just two huge pulses and then it's done.
So how much in terms of height is each?
So it's breaking the 800 meter line. Wow.
Total ascent for the race we were just talking about. We did 645 meters. So the total ascent doesn't really match one of those peaks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess off the first chart. So it's, let's say 150 meters of ascent here. Plus 200 meters of ascent there, so that's 350. Plus 250, so that's 400. So 600. There's a bit of ascent here, but let's not count that. I think on the first day we're already around 800 meters cumulative.
So kind of deer stalker, but twice as much distance.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's over 50 kilometers in this instance. It's almost three times. It's over three times the distance, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's like three times the distance. So if we try and run day one, like all of day one, I don't think we're getting up for day two. I think we probably should focus on walking all these hills.
Yeah.
We'll have a bit of. Running time, good, relatively flat distances between what I'm going to call roughly kilometer 6 and 12 or 13. Maybe even run over that little hill as well. So get us to the 16, 17 kilometer mark. And then once we're there, I think we'll just have to walk up these hills and run down the downhills. Because otherwise we are going to be in a lot of trouble. Come day two.
No, agreed.
I mean, to be fair, day two we could, if we just do the walking up the ridiculously steep hills, well, the rest of it's flat and downhill. So
yeah, it's always downhill.
We just gotta literally climb up 800 meters twice. So that's all it is.
And so how tall is Snowdon again? I'm sure it's kind of a couple of, there's at least a few thousand feet, isn't it? So, I mean, it's definitely comparable. So we've done that before in one of the other rat race races. So I kind of feel like I've been psyched out by this height. So I'm not
Snowdon is Snowdon height. 1,000 meters.
All right. All right.
1,085 meters, if you want to be precise about it, according to Wikipedia. Plus, you know, maybe the world's changed and it's actually a few millimeters shorter than that at the moment, or maybe higher. Who knows? Tectonic plates are strange, right?
Indeed, so. So we are doing more. This is much tougher than the Man versus Mountain race. In fact, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, Man vs. Mountain is a little shy of a marathon last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot tougher. A lot tougher.
I think we're going to do great. I have full confidence in our ability to overcome obstacles, which are incredibly much greater than any we've faced before.
I mean, we've got 12 hours each day to finish it. So as long as we keep a good walking pace, we should be well within that, and a bit of jogging in between, because we've probably told everyone we're supposed to be running this, and it's like, well, we better do a little running at least, otherwise, you know.
Well, I'll take the GoPro with me and we can record ourselves running and then post that to the website, and then people will think we run the entire way.
Yeah, just make sure it's not recording the, you know, 11 other hours where we were just bumbling along up a hill in freezing cold.
It does not have that much footage or room for footage in the memory, so don't worry about that.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Also, looking at the pit stops, there's three main pit stops on day one, at 9.5 miles, 14.5 miles, and 23 miles. So that looks interesting. But on day two, there's only two pit stops, 11.5 and 20 miles.
Ouch. I'm guessing both of them are just before the big peaks?
After. So what's 11 miles in kilometers? No, I don't think so. I mean, the peak is around 12 kilometers. So it must be on the downhill somewhere. Oh, is it? I would guesstimate.
It's probably a good thing. So how are we going to kind of, so we're going to have to load in terms of sugar. We're going to have to make sure we consume something just before we start climbing. I made that mistake last time when I did the Snowdon race and didn't eat anything on the way up, and then ended up shivering myself into a kind of a shock state at the top because I'd run out of energy. So I kind of feel like I need to be consuming as much sugar as I can on the way up.
I mean, based on your lack of training, I think you need to punish yourself by having porridge in the morning.
Never. Never.
Porridge and flapjacks. Nothing but porridge and flapjacks.
I thought we were friends. Why are you saying this stuff to me? Well, something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, that's brutal. Only two pit stops. Oh, my God.
Mm. Okay, so it sounds like we're going to have a lot of content and things to talk about.
Yeah.
So if people want to know exactly how not to train and run an ultramarathon on a Scottish island with some extremely tall mountains on them, then they should listen to the next podcast, I guess.
There you go. I mean, it's day one, 3,500 feet of ascent. Day two, 6,000. Let's just call it 6,000. No one says 6,000. What the hell are they 6,000 for? 6,000 feet of ascent. There you go. So we need fresh legs for day two. That's all I'm saying. I think day one will be a lot of walking. Otherwise, we're going to just completely, not be in a good shape.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. So do you think we're in a place?
Only with chips.
Chips. Sweet.
Better be some whiskey around. I mean, I heard there's whiskey on this island, right? So
there is. There's like a whiskey. There's definitely that. Cheese as well. We should definitely investigate that.
Whiskey and cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, it must. I mean, if the island can't have that many different places on it. It's not that big. I mean, it's over 60 miles because we're running all of that, but whatever.
Brilliant. So, I mean, I think I'm looking forward to it. So, that aside, I think this is going to be our first real test. So, obviously, the stick was tough. But this is a level up, isn't it? This is going.
I would say it's
extreme. Yeah.
I would say it's about 6 levels up.
Yeah. So we're going to be new people at the end of this. We will be forged in the fire of adversity, of challenge. We were going to be. This is what we're waiting for. This is why we're doing this kind of stuff, Alex. This is an adventure, and we are going to come out the other side, new people. I feel like this is going to be the making of me as an adult and human being, or I'm going to die.
Please don't die. I'm not sure how I would get your corpse off the island, to be honest. It might be quite challenging. There's only one ferry.
No, it's not my problem, is it?
Of all the places to die, Jamie.
Had to be in Scotland, in the middle of nowhere.
if it's in the middle of those two hills, I'm going to be well pissed off. Only over one hill. I mean, they can't get cars. I mean, the reason there's no pit stop, or rather only 2 pit stops, is because a lot of it's inaccessible by van. So I can't even get a van to get your ass out.
You're going to have to carry me back. It's almost romantic.
I could just bury you under some stones like they do in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant, yes. Great burial place. Meredith would be like...
On the rock. So,
yeah, my girlfriend would be like, where's Jamie? Oh, I buried him somewhere on some rocks in the Isle of Arran.
It's how we would have wanted it. That's fine.
Exactly. Save you some money.
Yeah, exactly. Funerals are expensive, mate. Anyway, on that macabre note.
So, yes, so tune in next time to find out if I died.
Or whether we will ever run again.
This may happen. So this is all part of a series, isn't there? So we've got this one, then we've got The Wall, which is a kind of 69-mile race across the shortest bit of England from Carlisle to Newcastle. And then we've got the Ultra Tour of Edinburgh. So, I mean, this is really make or break for us, isn't it? This is probably the hardest one, I think, up front, though. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really looked into the Ultra Tour of Edinburgh that much, to be honest. But that one's only 50 kilometres, if I'm right. Maybe 50 miles. But this one's probably the longest. No, sorry, The Wall's 69 miles, isn't it? Damn it.
Oh, I hate that race so much.
But I think I only have a 2-day version of it this year.
Do they have a 2-day?
I think so.
Really?
There's a lot better doing it 2 days before, I think.
Oh, that's so much better. Yeah. Okay, well,
we can take a view after we've done this one, whether we do the 2-day or the 1-day. Because the one thing about the 2-day is that you have to do it for 2 days.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just run and then hate yourself, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're at someone's stag do, and it's all good then.
I mean, that actually happened, didn't it? Yes, we were at someone's stag party.
Exactly. I think we were the life of the party.
I don't think I was. I think I was half dead. Again, morbid. Sorry, apologies.
Stop dying, Jamie.
Jeez. Stop dying. I can't help it. I keep doing these things I haven't trained for.
Yeah, must get better at the training aspect, I guess.
That's exactly what you need to do.
Or just enter more beer marathons.
I thought that, yeah, but those seem to be the ones I enjoy the most, so I think we should do that. But yeah. And that's something to talk about another time, perhaps.
Definitely. But I guess in the meantime, we'll just carry on with the last bits of training and packing and get our asses up to up to Scotland for the Isle of Arran. So, yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. If you do want to get in touch with us or give us some feedback, you can get to us at podcast@darthrunners.com or at darthrunners.com itself, where you can check out some of our blogs, race reports, training things that training stuff we don't do, and general stuff like this podcast. So, yes, tune in next time, and thanks again. But bye for now.
Cheers, bye.